I am a cool kid. I think he needs to be closer to the speed today if he's to win. He's got the big weight, 64-2 for Rhys Jones. But if he's on his game, oh, geez, I think he'll be hard to beat. So we'll go Akasaki ahead of Elmo. I am Magnificent bounced back to his best at Bathurst last time when defeating Caprera and Kookaburra. He's another one that'll be on speed. The Dean Murphy stable going well. And 10, another 10 goes into the numbers. It's sure to run well fresh. 13, 1, 11 and 10, the numbers in race number 8.
So 13, 1, 11, 10 there. And what was your best?
I've got two best bets today. I like race 2, number 3, Super Cyclone, and race 6, number 8, Vega in the Wellington Cup.
Thanks very much, Mick. Enjoy the afternoon.
Thank you, Simon.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications invites you to join the people's trainer, Richard Freeman, in a magnificent colt by Scissor Kick. Arrowfield's outstanding racehorse, now exciting new sire. Our colts from Miss Bax, a dual-winning three-quarter sister to four stakes winners, including Accomplice and Given. Join our Dynamic Richard Freeman team in this classic colt. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
There's a new construction job that's yours for the taking, but you can't tackle a project that big until you find the money to upgrade your tools. So you call On Deck, the small business loan specialists. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At On Deck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Menangle Winners, every Saturday morning from 10:30.
And we had a good night of harness racing at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, last night. Fred Hastings, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. You're spot on. It was a very good night, big night, long night, 10 races. It was the night where we went to the races, Simon, and Todd McCarthy had 9 drives on the 10-race card, and it looked on paper, and we know we don't run races on paper, but it looked as though he could easily pick up anything from 5 to 6 wins. Such was the strength of the horses he was steering. He ended up with 3 wins of the 9 drives, but he also had 3 seconds. One was beaten a head and one was beaten a nose. He had a third and he had 2 fourths. So he picked up a check in every race, so the first to fourth for his connections. An incredible performance, and look, he's a quality driver, he's a quality young man, and credit to himself and his parents and the sport. And yeah, 3 wins, but it could so easily have been a whole lot more for him. Major occasion, she won the mare's race in 151.6 and is really stamping herself as a real tough race mare, a real honest conveyance. And the Frisbees, Anthony and Chris, they've had an incredible season where their horse not only won their first Group 1 for them with our Uncle Sam back in March, but of course our Uncle Sam was very much to the fore during the course of the Inter-Dominion series and has just really given them a real star performer. But major occasion, Simon, she's not all far that far behind him. The Group 3 Pacers race went to Elmer's Image. It won by a nose. Gee, it was deceptive, and I'll put my hand up here. When they've hit the line, and it's dynamite going for anything on the inside from where I stand, because you've got to tack up a little bit to the horses on the outside, and I didn't tack up enough, and in the end, I went Major Dan a nostril, but it went a nostril to Elmer's Image. And talking to the judge, and this will sound a little bit strange, Simon, the nose verdict, he explained to me, you can have a close nose and a big nose, if that makes sense. And he said this was a real close nose. There wasn't a whole lot in it between Elmer's Image and Major Dan, but there was a margin for it. And Exterminate for Dan Morgan and Michael Osborne and Paul Wickham, they won a race 153.7. It's a couple of races that this horse has won, and Exterminate did a good job. A peg-hugging driver. It was a real good steer by young, dashing Dan Morgan. He led up, he handed up, and then when the leader rolled up the straight, he got up on the inside and basically from barrier one did not go around a horse. So that was some of the performances that were of note last night. But one of the feature races last night was the Easter Egg. Now, this was run at Fairfield way back its inception in 1965, was won by some real good race mares over the years, and of course with the closure of Fairfield. Menangle picked up the Fairfield Golden Easter Egg and allowed them to have their race at their track. And last night's edition saw a Group 1 winner lining up, but it wasn't to be.
400 metres left to go. On the inside, it's Brooklyn's Best with No Wind, No Feed looming up on the outer. Then Came For All We Know, about to get into the clear. Down the outside, Rise Above This lets down with a brilliant burst of acceleration as No Wind, No Feed goes up to join the leaders. But here comes Rise Above This. Rise Above This, and further out, finishing brilliantly now is Gold Rocks. Rise Above This goes to the lead. Inch by inch, Gold Rocks is wearing it down. Rise Above This was just in front. Diving on the outside, Gold Rocks, and it's a camera. Hard to separate them. They're wide apart and they're deep on the track. On the outside, Gold Rocks, and on the inside, Rise Above This. No Wind, No Feed has got third. They were followed then by Brooklyn.
So very close finish there in the Golden Easter Egg, Freddie. And in the end, Rise Above This got the decision from Gold Rocks. But it was a short nose, not a big one.
Yeah, that time round it was actually a big nose, if that makes sense. Do you call on me big nose? It was a terrific performance by Rise Above This, and we're hoping to catch up with Rise Above This owner. Her owner is Flora Robson. But yeah, the Fairfield Club, a lot of the committee and past officials were trackside for the presentation. It was great to see Colin Watts there. Colin, a living legend. He's a stalwart of the game, part of the famous Watts clan. And Colin, he performed at the speech at the presentation ceremony. He officiated there, and it was a very good speech by Colin. And it's hard to believe, Simon, that Fairfield's been gone 2 years this coming June. They've been their last meeting in 2017.
And, well, when was it? Was it about 2004 when they had their last, and then it became a training track for a few years?
That's about right. I was actually the on-course caller there. I shared the duties with our very own Paul Langham there, just doing the on-course duties for 12 months. They basically made a decision, the then board, to close down a number of tracks, and Fairfield was one of them. And they then got a 12-month stay of execution, to use the term not so nicely, but they got a 12-month stay and they were allowed to race. And as I said, Paul Langham and myself shared the calling duties based on our availability due to our main roles at 2KY then. But they then were made into a training track. They then started getting once a year, the J.D. Watts Memorial was run in June on the long weekend, and that was basically the only meeting they got. And then towards the end of their time, they ended up picking up 2 and 3 meetings a year. It was a very well patronised track. It was a special track to me because I called my very first official race at that venue, a horse called Double Agent, who was trained and driven by Joe Ilsley, and purely by coincidence, Simon, the Group 3 Paces race that was won by Elmer's Image last night was the Joe and Michael Ilsley free-for-all. Double Agent, he resumed from a spell. For memory, it was about August of 1983, and that was the start of his preparation that would see him land the Miracle Mile as a 12-year-old in, or 12 or 13-year-old in 1984. It was a race caller's day, and John Tapp was he was named down to call the free-for-all, but he was doing a story, as it turned out, for National 9 News on Double Agent, and they were looking for someone to call it, and one of the committeemen said, "Hey, Fred's been turning up calling the trials for the last 12 months. How about he does it?"
You got your chance.
That was my first race.
And Ross Scherf, was the sheriff giving us our mount-a-yard mail.
He was. You're spot on, yeah. Ross Scherf, who was the CEO there at the track, the secretary of the club. But we also got him on to do the parade ring tips prior to each race. So I can remember being in the chair as a coordinator in the late 90s, and Fairfield quite often raced Monday afternoons, and they would get 10 races and 10 runners in every race. It was quite incredible the support the club got. And Roscoe would come on before each race and he would give his tips.
Now, we've got Flora Robson online to have a chat to us. Freddie, Flora, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Flora, congratulations. It was a big night last night for you because you had a couple of runners at the races. Rise Above This, we heard the replay a few moments ago, holding on to beat Gold Rocks. And, of course, before that, you had My Venice Beach, who happens to be a half-sister, being out of Galleon's Honour, a Christian Cullen mare. My Venice Beach ran a place in the race preceding. So it was a big night for you.
I was absolutely delighted with my girls last night. Excellent training from Blake and Lisa, and Jimmy drove them a treat. I was just so excited.
Rise above this. I have a look at her record, Flora. She's had six starts in Australia for two wins and a placing. You acquired her from New Zealand. You tend to acquire many of the mares and fillies that you purchase. What's the reason or the logic behind that? I know My Venice Beach also came from across the ditch, and you tend to focus mainly on the mares. Is that purely breeding purposes?
I just prefer racing mares. I think mares, when they're treated well, will always dig that little bit deeper for you and will race consistently. I think a lot of trainers avoid them because they come into season, so they don't always race consistently. But Blake has a happy knack of tailoring the program to the mare, not the mare to the program. And looking further down the track, it's great to have quality mares to breed on and add to our racing stock here in Australia.
How many have you got racing presently? I know you've got these two that raced last night, and I was trying to think of the name of the trotter. Hillstead was its name. Have you still got Hillstead?
Oh, yes. Teddy's at home here. He's just about finished his spell, and he'll come back and hopefully be in the 40-year-old Trotters Foundation Series next year.
And what about, so how many have you got racing presently?
Oh, just the two girls.
Just the two?
Anna's retired. She's going to track Captain Treacherous this season, so we'll have another nice one in the pipeline.
Okay, and do you have a connection with New Zealand that sees you essentially bringing horses across from New Zealand? Is there a connection there?
There certainly is. It's Global Bloodstock, Daryl Kidd. I just give Daryl the criteria. Daryl diligently researches, and when he finds a horse he thinks, a mare that he thinks I might be interested in, he gives me a call, and Blake and I go through the breeding and the performance, and Blake generally flies over, has a little drive, and we make up our mind as to whether we'll go ahead with the purchase or not.
We talked about the Golden Easter Egg and the Fairfield Club, and coincidentally you won last night, Rise Above This, but My Venice Beach, she actually won the last Golden Easter Egg run at the Fairfield track back in 2017.
That's correct, yeah. We were absolutely delighted to win it twice. And the gentleman that bred both of them in New Zealand, I got a lovely SMS from him this morning saying how excited he was. She's been a great broodmare, Galleon's Honour. She's had the four foals for three winners. The half-brother is Duke of Wellington, and he's doing quite well down in Victoria at the moment and reportedly going back home to compete in the Jewels in New Zealand.
Okay, now, she's had, My Venice Beach, she's had 30 starts for you. I don't know if you probably know this stat, 30 starts for you. She's won eight and placed on 12 occasions, so she's got a terrific overall record for you. She's been a super little race mare.
Oh, she's very close to my heart, Dennis, as you well know, Fred. She's been unlucky in a couple of the starts. Early on, she did have a predilection for bucking, so that gave Blake a challenge, but he's ironed that out, and I think she'll still go on and win a couple more for us. I think there's a lot left in her before we send her to the breeding barn, but she's a lovely mare.
Now, the other hat you wear a couple of hats on a variety of committees, but one of them that I know is dear to your heart is the Trotters Association, New South Wales. We saw Sassy Pants win a Group 3, and there's talk she might be Jewels bound. That's a terrific achievement for the butt. She's been a terrific little mare, Sassy Pants.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and so well bred. She trots with a purpose, that filly. And Tim and Anthony, and the whole family. It's just a family affair with that mare, isn't it? They bred her, they train her, they drive her, yeah.
She's a robust, stocky mare, isn't she? She really picks them up and puts them down in fine fettle, and she certainly wouldn't be out of place in a Jewels. And obviously, with your role as Secretary of the Trotters Association, you would have been delighted to see, I think it was Tuesday, five of the nine races were races for square gaiters, and we had two again last night. So the trotting gaiters very well supported in New South.
Well, I think we're on the rise, and our committee is very proactive, and we get a tremendous amount of support from Club Menangle and Harness Racing New South Wales. We've got a Trotters Cup scheduled for the Renshaw Cup night at Penrith on the 18th of April. It's a 2-2 or better stand start over the 2,600 metres. So I'd encourage all the trainers out there with trotters to come along and support that cup race, because if they don't come and support, then we will lose the funding and then we've lost another race. So it would be tremendous.
And that's important for it, because, I mean, the provincial tracks, you know, when they do put trotters races on, they're not always supported. So it's important when they are programmed for trainers to get behind them.
Definitely. I'd encourage them all. Yeah, and I think it's a great track. Penrith are very proactive and encouraging us to schedule these cups at Penrith, so I would ask all the trainers to please seriously consider entering your horses, yeah.
Terrific. All right, Flora, well, congratulations on what was a terrific night for you. Both your girls performed, one picking up a golden Easter egg. The other one, who had previously won an Easter egg, ran a terrific race against some very good mare's opposition. You know, major occasion. She's a top-shelf mare, and your mare was only beaten not all that far, about a length and a half. So they're all going well. When the trotter comes back, it could be a triple threat for you with all three performing to their maximum.
Oh, that would be nice. And I'd like to thank Jimmy Douglas as well. Jimmy drove both the girls, and it's really a treat for me.
Yeah. Good young man, good driver too. Flora, thanks for giving us the time. Yep, absolutely he is. Thanks for giving us the time this morning. We have to go because we've got a big night of greyhound racing to recap, but thanks for giving us some time this Sunday morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Fred.
Flora Robson, Simon, she's the secretary of the Trotters Association. She's, I think she's secretary of the Breeders, New South Wales Owners Breeders. She's just a very busy lady, but very happy to put back into the harness racing game.
Yeah, tailoring the program to the mare, not the mare to the program. I like that.
That's probably no surprise for those that know Blake. He's an outstanding trainer, and you know. Mares, one thing with mares, and I think it goes not just in standard breds, but in the thoroughbreds, once they hit their form, Simon, as you know, they generally hold it for a fairly lengthy period of time. So obviously that's working for Blake and Flora and their horses.
I need to learn to tailor the punt to my bank account, not the other way around, Fred.
Hey, when you find out the secret to that, can you let me know?
Good on you, Freddie. Always good to catch up. We'll chat again next week.
Let's do it next week, Simon. Cheers.
Fred Hastings there. It's 13 minutes to 11.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
And we'll take a look at a terrific night of greyhound racing from Wentworth Park with heats of the Easter egg on. Michael Kelly from Greyhound Racing New South Wales is on the line. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. It was a terrific night last night. Where would you like to start? Well, gee, where do you start? In fact, I think it was the first time ever that every single heat winner broke 30 seconds.
Mate, just remarkable. There was some fantastic racing, competitive racing, fast racing, and some quality dogs. I'll just rattle through those 10 heat winners. We've got Fernando Blaster was the fastest qualifier in 29.40, Pindara Express 29.41, Federal Willie 29.45, Miss Splendor Mira 29.54, Fast Car Driving for the Jeff Britton Kennel in Victoria 29.69, Nangar Cash 29.72, Jamala Jet 29.83, Black Opium, Sienna Thompson's 29.84, Mr. Gry, the $1 million chase winner, 29.86, and iRock was the other winner of the heat in 29.98. As you said, all heat winners breaking the 30 seconds, just absolutely remarkable and fantastic. There was, there was a sad story of the night. Poker Bear, who everyone seems to love, that big white dog, unfortunately was injured in his heat, and as a result of that, spoke to Jason Thompson, Sienna's husband, after the race. And Poker Bear will now be retired and, as Jason said, spend the rest of his life in luxury laying on the couch at the Thompson household. So a little bit sad, but fantastic career and should be celebrated. The other surprise was Orson Allen, who was one of the series' favourites. Missed the kick, which is unusual for Orson Allen, normally flies out, but missed the kick, got checked, and that was the end of the section. So, unfortunately, Orson Allen out of contention, but some fantastic heat winners and some great semi-finals set for next week.
Well, one of the standout winners of the heats was the third heat, which was won by Federal Lily. And this bitched the Young Star Classic winner, of course, from last year. And she's now with Peter Lagoggiani. Peter's standing by for a quick chat. But first of all, let's take in a replay of Federal Lily's win of Heat 3 from last night.
Green light has been turned on. Heat number 3 of the egg. Ready to run. Racing, Poke the Bear fairly away. Federal Lily began brilliantly and charges over to go to the lead. Bad Neighbours going to second and Poke the Bear balancing up third. A break of four to Finale, followed by Hit Record, Jewel Karoma, Good Odds Buddy, and Morris Minor at the tail. Down the back and the front runner, Federal Lily by two over Bad Neighbour. Finale to third. What happened to Poke the Bear? He's out of play. They turn the corner. Federal Lily still the leader by two. Federal Lily goes all the way. Federal Lily by two and a half, Bad Neighbour Finale, followed by Jewel Karoma, Good Odds Buddy. They'll followed in by Hit Record, and then Morris Minor and Poke the Bear. He has got a miss down the back straight.
Yeah, that was the unfortunate aside to the third heat last night with Poke the Bear going a miss, but take nothing away from Federal Lily. And Peter Lagoggiani joins us now. Peter, good morning and congratulations on last night's win.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, thank you very much.
So when did Federal Lily come across to you from Morgan Fenwick Benji's?
Mate, almost 4 months now. We've had her here at home. Got a phone call while I was away on holidays with the family, and I thought it was a big joke. Actually, I thought it was a mate playing a trick on me. You know, I said, and then I got a call from Graham Duggan, who said, mate, it's no joke. He's serious, and take this bitch on. I think you can improve her. So, yeah, the rest is history at the moment.
And what is it, two or three wins you've had with her since?
Yeah, just the two wins, actually. We've only given her two starts. She came with a bit of a wrist injury, and we've worked on that. Then there was a little bit of a drama, and we had to wait for some swabs to come back. And she's been trolling the house down, you know, for the last, you know, month. And once we got that wrist right, she's just a mighty little bitch. She's got early speed, and she just... As she's getting fitter, she's finding the line a lot better.
And, Pete, do you think she's a realistic winning chance in the Easter egg?
Oh, mate, she's as the rest of them are, you know. What puts her in good stead is her early speed, you know. Her box manners, we've done a bit of box work with her also. So we saw her sort of form in Melbourne. It was a bit, you know, hit and miss. I like to concentrate on my dogs on box rise and then get them out and... You know, we treat them a little bit different to, I don't know, we don't know what everybody else does, but what we do, we think it's different. So, you know, it seems to work for us. So, yeah, look, she's going along nicely, you know. And I'd like to say, too, you know, condolences to Poke the Bear's, team and the owners and the great people and you know, great advocates of the sport. Sad to see a great dog, you know, and he could call him a champion, you know. Go out that way, but like you said, he'll have a good time on the lounge now, and I think a few little donuts and some chocolate bites. I think he'll be enjoying them.
So $15 for the Easter egg, Mick, for Federal Lily, and she's trending the right way, isn't she?
Certainly is. Peter, were you surprised by the 29.45 last night?
Mate, I was. I did say I think she'll get down to 29.50 on a fast track. I think yesterday, look. You know, we can sit there and bag Wentworth Park all we like and any other track. The curator done a fantastic job yesterday. Look, Peter, the manager there, they've worked overtime trying to get that track, you know, prepared right, you know, for the last couple of months now. They've had their dramas. But yesterday, you know, we even had the Melbourne guys come out and say, geez, this track looks awesome, and it did, and it raced true. I think the injury rate was pretty low yesterday, apart from a couple of falls, and which you get that in any industry, in any sport. So, look, I think it was a fast track yesterday, fast dog run, fast times. I think as the night went off, the track sort of tapered off a bit, I feel. But, look, taking nothing away from the other dogs, the other heat winners, they're all bloody good.
Mate, after that performance last night, do you feel now you are, as Simon mentioned, a realistic chance in the series? Obviously, you're not going to enter unless you think you're a chance, but 29.45, you've got to go, oh, hang on, we might really be a decent chance in this.
Yeah, Michael, look, I think she's a genuine chance of winning any race she contests in, but, you know, to win the Golden Easter Egg, mate, I'd say it'd be same feeling as winning the $1 million race, as the Australian Cup and the Melbourne Cup. You know, growing up as a young kid, you know, wanting to be a ground trainer, you know, you look at these races and you think, wow, you know, just to be in them would be great. But now I'm thinking, you know, I could win this, you know, bloody hell, I think she's a realistic chance. And like I said, her box speed is really going to put her in good stead to be a realistic chance in the top eight, you know. I've got her in the top eight at the moment. I think most genuine punters have too. So, you know, but she's got to repeat what she did, you know, last night, next week, and then again the following week.
As you mentioned, the $1 million chase there, Mystic Rise, another heat winner last night. You did say last night that you really had to get her back after that form at Sandown late last year.
Yeah, look, she's a confidence girl. You know, her confidence was brought down to the bottom. She after that fall, and she was timid again, and you know, was scared of the other dogs. And but you know, look, she's bounced back. You know, as most good dogs do, and she's brilliant. You know, you can't take anything away from her. You know, she's always trolled us records or near records, and her run home, just any hour I take her, it's just out of this world. So we know she's got the ability. You know, it's just like I said, getting that confidence up. And she proved it last night. You know, she went underneath that dog I think it was Fabwick she got underneath and you know, really give it what for and just went past it like it was standing still. And Fabwick, you know, she's not a bad little bitch herself. You know, she's made a couple of groupies and we're pretty pleased with her too. So you know, realistically, you know, on if you compare the two, you know, I'd say Lily would be a little bit better because of her box manners, but if you put them two out, Jill, little Mystic Wright beats her every time. So, yeah.
Mate, as you said, with confidence too, she's going to hopefully improve as the series goes on. And it was one of those wins she didn't have to lead like she normally does. She actually showed a different way of winning for you.
Yeah, pretty surprised actually. But we knew she could do it, Michael. We knew she could come from behind. She does that in her trials. We trial them sometimes and we let her go two or three lengths behind dogs and to get that confidence, and she runs past them. So she does it in trials. So we finally seen her do it in a race where she can come from behind. So, you know, on that you got to put her in the top chances too on that run.
Mate, best of luck for next week's semis with the pair of them, and appreciate you spending some time having a chat with us this morning, Pete.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you for the opportunity. Much appreciated. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Peter. Peter Lagogiani joining us there. And I'll just see if we can have a chat to Tracy Screws. We're going to try and line up. Pindari Express was one of the other winners last night and defeated Crimson Vixen there. That was Heat 6, and that one caught the IMEC.
It did indeed. I think everyone's been a fan of Pindari Express. Yeah, broken records at Bulleye and Maitland and genuinely fast dog, but just been a bit enigmatic. One of those dogs that'll miss the kick and get into a bit of trouble and we'll be unlucky in a lot of his races. But and that was the case, you know, when he made his Wentworth Park debut a couple of Wednesdays back. But everything went right last night. Jumped well, got into second spot, up the back, overtook the leader, and away he went. 29.41, just 1/100th outside Fernando Blaster's fastest qualifier last night. It's great signs, and Tracy was very, very delighted that everything fell into place and got the result last night.
Yeah, Tracy's just busy. I think she might be with the vet at the moment, so we're unable to contact her. But apart from the heat winners last night, focusing on the final, which is on Saturday the 20th of April, who's your selection at this point, Mick?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting area. It'd be hard to go past Fernando Blaster, I guess, at this stage. At 29.4 for a young dog around Wentworth Park, he just flew out and away he went. But they're so close. Yeah, Federal Lily, 29.45. Yeah, Pindari Express, 29.41. Miss Splendor Mirror, finalist last year, trained by David Giel, who won the egg with Uphill Jill last year. You know, she jumped in front 29.54. Spoke to David after the race, and he said that, yeah, they gave her a run over 600 in Perth at Cannington just to basically build her confidence back up too. Yeah, they knew that she'd be able to lead that race. Yeah, sure, she might get run down, but they wanted to build her confidence back up of leading, and it certainly showed last night. She jumped straight on the bunny and away she went. And, you know, she's a big race performer and she loves Wentworth Park. Jamala Jett, yeah, back to form for Jamala Jett, the Million Dollar Chase runner-up. It was a great performance, and of course, yeah, whilst they had the unfortunate situation with